I haven't done this before, so I don't know how it's going to turn out. So I thought we might take what we talk about. Our Wednesday nights are quite different than our Sundays. Sunday is a little more formal, but also I try to give those who come something of the truth which I myself have experienced. You know, you can go to school, you can attend Bible class, you can attend lectures, you can go to many teachers. But what you are here for is to realize within yourself the things of the Spirit. Because God dwells within you, it is His infinite presence, which is your very life, your light, your intelligence, the power which makes you move and live and breathe and have your being. And it is He alone on whom I would like you to concentrate. I am only His child and His servant. I have given my life to Him completely. I picked up my cross, which is to say my body, and I followed Him even unto the death of this cross, which is my body, so that I might be able to experience the truth, and as a result, if it was His will, to teach this truth to all of those who are seeking the truth, and many are today. It's wonderful to see the tremendous uprising on every level in the religious field today. And nobody has a monopoly on God, you know, and nobody has a monopoly on truth, because God is everywhere equally present in every religion, in every individual that walks this earth. It is He, it is He, it is He. With all of you who are coming for the first time, I want you to know that it is not my name, my fame, my glory that I want enhanced and spread around across the earth. It is only that of the Lord. And every single thing I teach you is to focus your attention only upon Him, because, as Jesus said, and as all of the great scriptures say, seek ye first God and His kingdom, and then all else will be added unto you. All of the information on every level of consciousness. If you want information on any level, occult, clairvoyant, psychic, it makes no difference what. Seek God first, because if you seek these other planes first, there is danger in doing that. But if you go to God first, putting your full attention upon Him, then if it is His will and you have need for this information, it is given to you in some form or other. And you are fully protected. This is the main thing. I've had many strange experiences since I saw or held my last meeting in the middle of June, and some of them were rather terrific. And I had psychic experiences. I've had experiences with entities, taking them from exercising spirits from people and things of this nature, and having to deal with them afterwards. And do you think that I could have done these things by myself? I can assure you, I could not, in any sense of the word. Healings have been accomplished, but God has done all of these things. I have not done, because I have no power whatsoever as an individual human being. It is God who uses this vehicle, which He Himself created, to do anything that He wishes to do through it, because it is my will to do only the will of my Father. And when each and every one of you can forget yourselves, the little self, that self that is interested in worldly things and all the things of the senses, of keeping yourself comfortable all the time, of making sure that you aren't hurt in any sense of the word, and making sure that you come first. When you can give up that little self and fix your attention fully upon God and say with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, "Here am I, Lord, take me," then you really have arrived at the beginning. And you haven't given up yourself. You haven't given up anything except that which is a burden to you. But what you gain as a result of doing that is so far beyond my power to tell you that it is indescribable. What you're seeking, you see, is not someone outside of yourself when you say, "I want to become one with God." You are seeking your very self, that which is God within you. And that's what people don't recognize. they have been taught from the beginning to think of God as perhaps a being with a long beard and gray, long flowing gray hair and sitting up on a throne or something of this nature. Some see him as pure spirit, but this is most difficult for people to see in the beginning. They don't understand what God as spirit means. But he is that eternal life, that eternal intelligence, that eternal power that is in every atom of space, in everything in this universe. Everything. And I want to universalize your mind so that you know that this God presence, this Christ presence is within you. But don't forget that Jesus the Christ was the Son of God, and he came to take us to the Father, not to himself, but through the consciousness which was within him. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim, a Jew, a Protestant, a Catholic, a Hindu, whatever. The same principle holds true, and this is what we have to realize, that God's Word, it isn't the Word itself that is contained in the Scripture. It's a description of the manifestation of the Word, because the Word is pure spirit, is that vibratory force which goes out from God, and in accordance with the rate of vibration, builds itself into a form. And that form moves and lives and breathes and has its being because that eternal spirit is within that form. It is the life within that form. The Hindus knew this thousands of years before the Christians took up the idea. Really. And they made a wonderful thing out of it because they said that it wasn't possible to kill the body, to burn the body, to murder the body, or it is to do the body. But not the life which is within the body, because that life is God's life. And he is eternal. Therefore, there is no such thing as death in the way that we think of it. It is like we take off this garment and we lay it aside. We go into a deeper sleep, and then we awaken to the dawn of a new consciousness. We take on a new garment of flesh, and we keep on perfecting ourselves until we come to the realization of our oneness with God. We think we're put here for many things, but we're actually put here only for one purpose, and that is to find our union with God. That's the only purpose. Now, some take this as a tremendous burden, but it isn't. It's a tremendous real self. And find this God which is your real self. Give up the burden that you've been carrying humanly. You've been packing a terrible burden on your back. Some people are terribly unhappy. They're terribly dissatisfied. They don't know who they are, where they're going, what they want to do. I have asked so many young people going, well, many of them in high school even today, what do you plan to do when you get through with high school? Are you going to college? I don't know. My own grandson told me this the other day. I don't know what I want to do. He said, I think I'm going to take a year off and just work and make up my mind what I want to do, what I want to be. You know, you just can't sit still. You have a destiny to fulfill. And each and every one comes with a very special gift. And it is very necessary for their own fulfillment that they find out what that gift is, what their purpose is, what their destiny is here in this life, so that they can become a part of the grand pageantry of life, that they just don't stand at the gates begging alms like a beggar and watch life go by. Certainly life is difficult sometimes. Whoever said the way of the cross and the Christ was an easy one? But to me, it's the most tremendous adventure. It's a challenge. I wouldn't miss a minute of it, good or bad, because out of every difficult experience which has come to me in my life, and believe me, in the many years of my life, I've had many difficult experiences. Good has come out of it, and I have learned from it, and I have grown from it. And it's exciting not to know what's going to happen, but it's also a thrill when you're faced with a difficult situation to find within yourself the power of overcoming and to meet that challenge and to see it melt away and to see that here was a lesson that God wanted you to learn, and you'd been so blind before you couldn't see it. But if you immediately, in any difficult situation, say, Lord, what is it that you want me to learn from this experience? And meditate upon it, think upon it, and see what you can figure out to do to overcome it with His help and through His grace. And relax and let Him do the work instead of trying to do it all yourself. You will find that you will learn what it is that He has in store for you. You will learn the lesson which He put before you, and it will all dissolve. And you will have grown a million miles. You will have expanded your consciousness. You know, as long as we are alive, we're going to be learning. I don't care how high you become in the spirit, how great a consciousness, how great a soul you are. Nobody is ever greater than God. Nobody is ever as great as God, because He is so vast that He fills every crevice, every little tiny crack and corner in this whole universe. In fact, it is all contained within Him. So what we do is to realize our oneness with Him. We have the total realization of our oneness with God. This experience comes to each individual on the path one day. If they will meditate, if they will follow the do's and the don'ts that are contained in the scriptures, if they don't go hog wild, as the saying goes, like so many are doing today, just throwing all of the commandments out the window and saying, well, these are for everybody else, but not for me. We have a new order. We have a new thing now. Let's follow nature. Well, it's fine to follow nature up to a certain point if you're willing to pay the price. But don't forget that these laws of God were given to us for a purpose. They were given to us for our protection and for our purification. And we cannot flagrantly disregard every commandment that was given to us by God and expect to come up with God's realization. It just will not happen. God doesn't punish us. We punish ourselves, because through the misuse of this tremendous physical body that we have, through the misuse of the intelligence, the emotions, everything that we have, we bring sorrow upon ourselves. We bring trouble upon ourselves. And then sometimes we blame everybody and everything else, even God. God, why did you do this to me? But you misused your own free will. You had the power of choice to do this or to do that. We have it every moment of our existence. There is never a moment when we can't say either no or yes. Even to the point where somebody says, well, if I didn't do what that individual asked me, he would have killed me. So you still had a choice. You could have died. Always. There is never that. So every man writes his own destiny upon his own forehead with his own hand. Now there are many who come and go. They come when it's convenient. But it is a tremendous privilege for all of us to come together in a group. All of you are tremendous souls, or you wouldn't be here. You're all seekers after the truth. You're seekers of God. And so each one of you comes not merely to get something, but to add the power of God that is within you to the power of God in everyone else here. And so this power of God, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there shall I be in the midst of him, of them. And this is a tremendous power that is built, so that each and every one gains from that power. And the more we come together, the more that we speak of the truth and meditate upon the truth and live the truth above all else, the more we are going to grow in God. And we can find a million excuses for not doing this many, many times. But you know, God should come first. As I've said many times before, we go to Him with everything. Lord, give me this. Lord, do this for me. Lord, I'm in trouble. Please help me. Lord, 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 give me, give me, give me. But what do we give Him in return? Just exactly what do we give Him? How much of our time? How much of our attention? How much of our consciousness? How much of our gratitude? When He pours His love upon us, every single moment of our lives, that love is pouring, that bounty is pouring forth every single moment. That power is pouring forth. Our good is there waiting for us to receive it. But we aren't interested. We're closing all of our doors, all of our windows. And who can get in? Who can get in? Do you not think that God is grieved when we do not go to Him? And I many times ask the question, we are always so busy to even spend a couple of hours a week meditating upon God, speaking about Him, and coming together to worship Him in His name. What if we were in dire trouble, in dire straits, and we should lift our eyes to the heavens and say, Lord, I'm in dire need. You must help me. I have nowhere else to turn, no one else to turn to. And He were to say, I'm sorry, my child, I'm too busy. Call on me some other time. And that's exactly what we do to Him. How wonderful, how great, how all-loving, how forever-loving is our Lord when He puts up with what we give Him and what we don't give Him. It's an amazing thing what terrible things we do. And yet you know that the only ones we hurt are ourselves, no one else. We cheat ourselves. We think we're so all-fired smart that we got away with something because we didn't do this or that or the other thing, or that we did do it. And sometimes we get definite direction. I was down in Arizona a couple of weeks ago, and I was interviewing a woman, and she said she looked 15 years older than I saw her when I saw her the last time. It was terrible, the devastation that had been caused. And she was in very, very definite trouble, and she said, you know, Mother, she said, God warned me that I shouldn't do this. He warned me, He told me that this was a thing of Satan. Just in these words, she said this. And I went ahead and did it anyway. And she paid the price, believe me. She paid the price even to the point where she lost her faith in God. She lost her faith in everything. And she was the most miserable creature in the world. But through God's grace, He finally straightened her out. And I think she's on the road again, for which I'm very, very grateful. But these are the things we do to ourselves. We don't listen to that still, small voice within. And we must learn to do this. It comes in the form of intuition in the beginning. And in the Bible, it is called John the Baptist. It is that baptism of the Spirit which is constantly coming to the human consciousness in the beginning. And He is the one who comes first, before the Christ consciousness. You will remember that Jesus asked to be baptized of John, and John didn't want to be baptized, want to baptize him because he said that the Christ was so much greater, and Christ said, suffer it to be so, and so it was. But He said that that one that would come after Him was so much greater, and this is the truth, because when you have finally overcome the human within yourself, when you've gone over the top into the ocean of God's consciousness, His love, His bliss, when you have become one with this tremendous light, which is God within yourself, then it is no longer a John the Baptist. It is not this thing, this of intuition which comes and goes, this hunch now and then. But it is a powerful force that takes hold of you and works, because you are no longer there, the little self. But your real self is there. The ghost has gone. And what is there is the Holy Ghost, or the divine ego, or the Christ within you. And that Christ consciousness is constantly directing you. As a matter of fact, it is not you who speak then. It is He who speaks through you. There is nothing there but God. Do you not realize that there is nothing any place in all of this world, in all of this universe, but God? How could it be otherwise? He is the sole creator. He contains everything within His own one body. But what a mess we have made of it. But we are not totally guilty, because we have been taught wrongly. We have not been taught the truth. And it is high time that we know the truth, that we are all the children of God, all the sons of God, to all who received Him, not just one, but to all who received Him. To them gave He the power to become the sons of God. As I said Sunday, I'd like to throw the word sin out of the Bible. I'd like to rewrite it without all of this harangue about evil and sin and wrongdoing. And I'd like to put in its place the knowledge that we are God's children and that everything is good, that God sits in his heaven and all is right with the world, and that everything that happens is for our highest good and is but that which is necessary to take us to our goal of realization of our oneness with him. When you are able to forget yourself in service to God, when you can see him in every form that comes before you, regardless of what that form looks like or what that individual does, when you can see that God is there, when you can feel him in every atom of space, when you can feel your oneness with him, where no matter where you are, you can count your blessings. No matter where you are, you know that this, your body, is the temple of the living God. It is your church. And wherever you take that temple, wherever you take that church, you may worship him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That you don't have to make a building, a brick or stone or mortar or mud or anything else, but that it is the living God. This is what Christ said. Know ye not that ye are gods, and this is the temple of the living God. I want you to realize the truth of what these scriptures say. Not what we have been taught. I don't see how it all happens. I really don't. The more I get into the Bible, it's literally fantastic. I was reading the beginning of the New Testament today, the first chapter, where it tells about the genealogy of Christ. And it speaks of it being the genealogy of Christ, the son of David, who is the son of Abraham. And yet we're told, conversely, and this is something to think about, that Jesus was born of the Holy Ghost to the mother Mary, and that Joseph, in fact, was his foster father. Where did David come in as the father? What does that mean? Tell me. It's just the same as it said that in the beginning was Adam and Eve. They had two sons, Cain and Abel, and Cain slew Abel, and he was cast out of the kingdom, and he went to the land of Noah, I think. And the land of Noah was well populated at that time, and he took unto himself a wife. Now, if only Adam and Eve were the first men and women, and Adam and Cain and Abel were their only sons, where'd all the other people come from? Let's do a little thinking. Let's ask a few questions. Let's not just accept blindly a few things that people have taken out of context, have built into a false story, and have stuffed down the throats of people for over 2,000 years. And even before that, because the same thing has happened in all the great scriptures of the world. There's one thing that we must remember, that the Bible is written in parables, in story form, and it is the story of the evolution of every single individual, from the human to the divine. And that all of these people, these places, these things, these events are put in there to help you to understand what happens inside of you as you tread the spiritual path to God. The famines, the earthquakes, the various states of consciousness, the various heavens, all of these things. I, along with everybody else, had accepted these things. And God has been opening up new vistas to me that are so miraculous, and they are the truth. I cannot quarrel with them. I looked all through the New Testament, and no place did I see where Jesus the Christ said that he was the only begotten Son of God. But I did find that St. Paul said it, that the man Jesus was the only mediator between God and man. So we have St. Paul as the culprit. And I call him a culprit from that standpoint, who made that statement. Jesus did not say he was the only master. He said, to all who received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. To all. He didn't say he was the only master. Rather, he said that no disciple can become greater than his master, but the disciple, if he perfect himself, can become as great as the master, which also puts him in the category of mastership. He becomes the master of himself. This is a tremendous fairy tale we have had woven. You need not take my word for it. I invite you to read the Bible and to compare it and to really look at what you read and to do some thinking about it. Each one of these words, the word David means love. Abraham means the first seed, the first cell. And Abraham begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And the ovum and the spermatozoa coming together form the first one cell, Abraham. And from that, the human body is made cell by cell and bit by bit. And it speaks of this genealogy and unto the 14th generation. Now you have seven spinal centers, and you have a positive and a negative force in each one of those spinal centers. This is a scientific fact that you have this positive and negative force within your body. And so, every time you speak of the 14, you are referring to the seven spinal centers. And it refers to this, I think it's in John. No, it is neither. It's in St. Matthew, the first chapter of St. Matthew. And it says, until the 14th generation, and it gives a lot of other names, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so, until the 14th generation. And then it repeats it for the third time. Now this is because the infinite spirit, the soul, is encased in three bodies. The physical, which we see here, and we know that we have an electrical body, a nervous body, because if we find something coming at us in a hurry, we know that this electricity charges to our brain right now. You just feel the shock of it. Also, all of the saints and the Christ are pictured with the halo around the head. You do have a light body. And you have an idea body. So everything is created in idea form first. So this infinite spirit permeates the three bodies. And so what it describes in there is the formation from this individual original cell, the Father Abraham. What happens to these three bodily jars and how this develops as a human body, which appears out here in gross form. Now this is a parable. But I'm giving you the true meaning as God gave it to me. There are many, many things that we can learn together as we go along. But I want you to know the truth. I want you to know that God is within you. That He is your Father. That He is the one and the only one that you should be keeping your attention on. Now you must, of course, in order to go into the silence of your own being. And that is what is meant when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can go to the Father except through me. He wasn't speaking of himself as an individual, but through the consciousness which he had attained. Because there was nothing in him but God, that eternal, universal consciousness. And we limit him. We do him a disservice. We do the disservice to every great master who ever walked the earth when we limit them, because we should become one with that universal Christ Spirit. He said, lo, I am with you always. He is in every single one of us, this consciousness, this Christ consciousness. And you must go through that consciousness into the infinite, to the Father who is beyond that. Do you understand? It isn't like we've been told. We've made a fetish of this thing. We have limited God. Is God so limited that he can make only one divine son? I can't accept that any more than I can accept the fact that God is evil. I could not worship a God who is evil. And yet if he is all there is, I ask you to take a look at evil. If we had been taught that we are all children of God, if we had been taught to love God and love God in each other, that everything is wonderful and beautiful, that our supply is always there, ready, waiting for us, if we will but open our hearts and our minds to receive it, it will pour upon us so infinitely that it is indescribable. I know that this is true, because I am not telling you something that I read out of a book or that somebody told me. I have lived this. I have paid the price for knowing. I was born in utter poverty the parents that had no education. I myself have never graduated from any school except a 6-month business course. Never. And yet God has taken me all over the world. I have met with the greats of nations. I have many who have doctor's degrees, master's degrees, as God's disciples who have been sent to me. My whole life has changed. I never have a need but what it is satisfied. I have no income except Social Security, which is very little. It isn't even enough to pay the rent in this apartment. And so God takes care of me through those that I serve. And I never charge one dime for anything that I do. So when I tell you that this law works, I know from first-hand experience. I'm not talking off the top of my head. I know what I'm talking about. And if I can do it with as little as I had to start with, I don't think there's anybody in the world that can do it with given normal intelligence. No. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, so to speak, with God's help. I've had to lean on Him, look to Him for everything. But I want to learn. I plan to keep on learning till the last breath I draw. Because nobody is ever so great that he can't learn something. And from every single one who comes, I receive as well as I give, I can assure you. As I've told many who have come here before, the very privilege of sitting here talking to you about God, of turning myself over to Him completely, of letting Him speak to you through this form, of communing with Him, of listening to what He says through this form, is reward greater than I can tell you. So you have done me a tremendous service to God. And I hope that in turn, the truth which He gives you will permeate your consciousness, will take hold of you, and that you will reach out for a new life, that you will have the courage to really put your feet on the path and to go forward and to reach out for God. Make your lives over. Who do you punish when you don't do the right thing? Who do you punish when you lollygag through life? Just yourself. It's a whole life wasted. And this human life is a very, very precious thing. We don't come by it easily, you know. It takes many incarnations to come to the point where we are now. And it will maybe take some more to get to the ultimate. But we should not concern ourselves with our development, with our advancement. If you're truly tuned into God, if you're truly surrendered to Him, if you're truly dedicated, just go ahead every single moment of your life and serve Him with all love, with all willingness. I know that there are many people who say to me, Mother, isn't there something I can do for you? And so, occasionally there is. And so in the beginning, everything is fine. Pretty soon, I find some of the people doing the same thing grudgingly. And finally, they don't want to do it at all. What do you think stepped in except the human ego? I don't ask them to do it for me. I ask them to do it for Him. But most of all, I ask them to do it for themselves. Because until you can get yourself out of the way, the little self, you're not going to realize who and what you really are in God. And believe me, you are tremendous. Tremendous. He in you. Just think, the great I am of this universe. That is you. We are all the separate cells of His one body. Each and every one of us. All working together in harmony. Now, if we can work together in harmony, if we can tune in and listen to the music of the spheres, and it is beautiful when you come to that state of consciousness where you can hear this music which brought this whole universe into being, you are uplifted as you never have been before. You have an experience which no money you could pay to go to an opera, to a show, to anything in this world could bring you. You've got something unique because it is not of this world. And you bring yourself to the point where you're in this world but not of it. Not of it. the end of the world has truly come, but not in the way that the Orthodox people think of it, because that won't happen for God knows how long, eons. But it is the end of the worldly consciousness, when the world no longer has any pull over you, when you are total master of your senses, when you have the power within yourself to resist temptation and say, no, get thee behind me. Get thee hence, I think the word is. When you can say that, when no temptation, if somebody offers you the whole world, and you can say, no, the kingdom that I have, the kingdom that has been offered to me, is far greater than anything that you could offer me. And you have really become master of yourself. That's what we need. Not so many straw bosses, but some real masters, because a real master, you see, never dominates anyone else. He merely lovingly tries to help that one to attain the state to which he himself has attained. Remember that Jesus said, he who would be greatest among you, let that one be the servant of all. And that's the way it should be. We should serve not man, but God in man. There is a vast difference. There are so many do-gooders. There are so many organizations, so many institutions, so many this and that being formed. And all of them are good. They're necessary. Because don't forget that every level of this mental world is different than any other level. And everybody comes in at a different state, a different level of consciousness. And they can only accept that which their consciousness has been conditioned to receive. You cannot possibly take them any further than they're able to go. You must start with them where they are and take them from there. Didn't we all have to take the first step before we could truly walk? And that's the way it is in the field of the Spirit, because this field of the Spirit is a school of life. And we go through each grade and we learn our lessons and we take our tests and we pass our examinations and then we're promoted to the next grade. And we should never look down on any other man or any other individual's faith, because for him it is right and it is good, and God is there. Just make no mistake about that. I've seen so much of this bigotry and really hatred, viciousness, that has come out of things like this. And this is not God's will. It is not the purpose for which we are put here. We are put here to put our full attention upon him. Let's forget these religious differences. We are all his children, and kneel down together and worship him, our Father. He is our common Father. This religion doesn't have one God and another one, another God. This one, the truth, and not the other one. God didn't make the universe in a scramble, in a chaos. He projected himself, he sustained himself, and he withdraws himself into himself. And this goes on all the time. This is his life. Just like he wakes and he sleeps. All of this that we see, all of this that we do, this is God in us, living his life. And it's a beautiful, it's a wonderful thing when you know that truth, when you know that there isn't any such thing as death, when you know that there's a constant state of evolution, and that if you don't make it this time trying your best, that you've got another chance. Because would any parent, if his child fell and made a mistake the first time, kick him out and never take him back again if he were worthy to be called a parent? You remember the one about the disciple who went out, and yet when that one disciple came back, all the rest were left, and that one was made a banquet for. A banquet was made for that one. And that's the way it should be. Because a mother, when her child goes out and gets all dirty and falls in the mud, doesn't turn it away because it's dirty. She brings it in and she washes it, she cleans it up, she puts clean clothes on it, Then, because it looks so beautiful, she gives it a big kiss and a big hug and loves it. You know, a real parent forgives his child, even when that child commits the greatest sin. So how much greater is the love of our Heavenly Father? How great His forgiveness! But we have been taught that we are such miserable sinners, that we are constantly to be in a state of repentance. We have had guilt heaped upon our heads century after century until we're overburdened with it, and our institutions are full of people who have nothing but guilt complexes. And I think we should stop that. We make mistakes. Of course we do, in the human sense. But let us not dwell on those mistakes. Let us ask God's forgiveness. And then let us forgive ourselves and go forth with a new idea of success. And if we fall again, let's not remember the mistake, but let's again say, I'm sorry, but get up there and pitch until finally, I don't care how many times you have fallen, how bruised and bleeding you have become, you will one day reach that summit. Nobody can stop you. That's the law. Because as you give, so shall you receive. As you do, so you shall you bring into manifestation. That is the law of the universe. And it is immutable. It is unchangeable. So why don't we all take hold of the good and go forward with that and forget the past? Let's forgive ourselves. Whatever went in the past cannot be changed. Never. But whatever went in the past is a part of this moment, what we have become. And if we have come to this state of consciousness where we are reaching out for God and for good, when we have put our feet on the path, when we have perhaps on the road to Damascus seen the face of the Christ and have turned around and want to live a different life, then whatever in the past that brought us to that point is good. Let us bless it. Our greatest enemy, our greatest sin, our greatest crime, let us bless it, because they brought us to this moment of enlightenment. Let us wash ourselves pure of all that is gone in the past. Keep the good, remember that, but also bless the other, because it brought you to this point. It made you grow. It purified you. It made you suffer. It conditioned you. And so therefore, it was good. But you've got to be soldiers for God, you know. We want to build a tremendous army for Him. Not just something that's an idea, but the real thing. An army of those who have experienced, who have realized God who dwells within them. Their oneness with that. Who have seen the great light of their own soul and have become one with that, have themselves become a light on a hilltop to light the way for others. Don't seek to be healers. Don't seek to do this or that. But know that God through you will make all things possible, will do all things, and in turn, if you must think of yourself as separate from Him, then think of yourself as serving only Him, not yourself, not your family, not your employer, but God in all of these. And I can assure you, with such intense concentration upon God, that your life cannot but change, and that you will find your oneness with Him, that everything will change and be different and better. It cannot be otherwise. This is one of the greatest forms of meditation, of concentration in the world. It is, of course, tremendous. Every morning of your life, when you first waken, to get up and wash your face and take care of things that are necessary, and then to sit down on a woolen blanket and fix your full attention upon God, to start the day outright with worship of Him, with finding your oneness, your communion with Him, and then take that power, that feeling of love, that feeling of upliftment, and go through your day, and you will have a much better day. It is a wonderful thing, the last thing at night, to center your full attention upon Him and to meditate upon Him and to feel that oneness, to be lifted out of this human consciousness. It is a wonderful thing. But when you can do this 24 hours a day, waking and sleeping, to have your mind fixed forever upon Him, this is what we're after. Until you don't see any difference at all, when every thought, every word, every action is just like a melody that flows on, or like a waterfall that is going into a great stream that is running toward the ocean. And you feel this joy, this bliss, this satisfaction, this fulfillment within yourself. I don't ask this for myself. I ask it for God and for you. Because you will never find happiness. You will never find peace. You will never find the fulfillment which you have been seeking all of your life until you do what I have suggested to you tonight. And it's the most wonderful adventure, the most wonderful experience in all the world.
Okay.
We've had rather a funny thing happen. I made an announcement on Sunday that we were going to start at 8:30 tonight. And I was out of town. I was over in Arizona, down in California, and calls went out telling people that it would be at 9:30. So we're happy. Some come at 8:30 and some at 9:30. Would you come in? There aren't any chairs. Would you like to sit with the rest of them, or do you want to sit back there? But after this, we will be meeting at 9:30. At 8:30 every Wednesday evening. And I would like all of you to be on time, if at all possible. If you have classes, I would appreciate it if you could change that to some other night. And those who are working, of course, are excused for coming in late, always. But it's better if we all get together here at one time. Some of the people have very graciously been cleaning my apartment for me for several years now, and they come at 7 o'clock so that everything is ready by 8:30. We have had quite a time during the past several years. I lived in a home with... those that wanted to clean started with two and ran up to so many that we finally built a 6-foot fence out in back. We tore it down and built it back up several times. That was the greatest fence in history. But in the meantime, we talked about God, and we learned patience, and we learned to do things perfectly for God, because it says, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So everything that we do for God should be perfect. Everything. We should do every single thing to build beauty. We should keep ourselves clean inside and out and as attractively groomed and dressed as we can, not through personal pride, but in honor of that one who dwells within. But above all, let His light shine forth. Let His love go forth. It is a tremendous magnetic force. And if you once become one with God who is within you, and you feel the power of that love, you feel that enchantment, believe me, it makes itself felt wherever you go. Try it. Find out. Go to the stores and give that special God smile to a clerk. Make a special effort to, you know, say something real nice about how nicely she served you, how much you appreciated her effort, how nice she looks, or make it a comment about a ring she wears or the dress she wears. You know, she'll remember you the next time and she becomes your friend. I've got friends all over this city. Really, it's tremendous. I can go almost any store that I usually travel in and I have a field day. It's just wonderful to go and see God in all of those forms, and they are my friends. And it's proven itself so much. I go out to the Legend Room occasionally with people, and the other day I took my grandson out for a birthday luncheon. And so a little Chinese girl waited on us, and she about breaks her neck to wait on me every time she sees me come in. Just so happened that she had my table, and I introduced her to my grandson and told her that we were celebrating his birthday, although his birthday wasn't until Tuesday. And so after we had finished the meal, She said, now just wait a minute, don't go away. And the hostess came, who was also very gracious to me at all times, and said, now don't go away, Mrs. Hamilton. And so here they came with an all unexpected, unknown by either one of us, with a little birthday cake with the decoration, happy birthday, the roses, and one single candle on it. It was such a delightful surprise, and my grandson was so pleased. But it's wonderful how God works for you when you work for Him. If you walk with Him, He walks with you. But He walks with you anyway. But if you don't want to recognize His presence, then He can't do everything for you that He would be doing otherwise. But put this into action. Wear a smile on your face. Put forth God from within yourself. Forget your little self. We are totally unimportant. In fact, we don't even exist. Isn't that a strange remark to make? But it is the truth. Because this human ego is the Antichrist within each and every one of us. It is the ghost of the real self, or the divine ego, which is to say God, the infinite spirit, the infinite life, the infinite intelligence, the infinite power that dwells within each and every one of us. I invite you to put this into practice and tell me what you need. You can take an individual that just is down in the world, absolutely sour, grumpy, doesn't want anything to do with you or anybody, and you make a special effort to give God from yourself to that individual and watch the change take place. Somebody has a little heart for them. Somebody has a little interest in them. Somebody cares enough to notice them, to give a kind word, to give them love, to give them a helping hand. And I want to tell you, it really works. It really works. There's no place where I go. I can sit down, be minding my own business, drinking a cup of coffee at a counter, and the next thing I know, the person next to me has told me the whole story of their life. And they say to me when I left, oh, I'm so thrilled I met you. You were the answer to my prayer. God must have sent you. I hear this type of thing all the time. And this is not something that I have done, you understand. God has done it. But I'm sure all of you have had that same experience sometime. But if you do this that I have asked of you, suggested to you, you will find the same thing happening. And don't ever be too busy to listen to someone else's problem. You know, we all have problems, and it's an awfully good thing to have a listener sometime, because you got to get rid of the pressure, the steam, you know, let it out. But don't use your friends just for a dumping ground, a garbage can, to vent all of your troubles, your problems, your anger, all the rest of it. It may not be at them, but at somebody else. Give them your love, your kindness, your courtesy, your consideration. Let's see how many nice things we can do for them to prove our friendship. And as you give love, you will find that love comes to you. Because as you give, so shall you receive. You may not get it from the places that you think. You may not get it from those who are near and dear to you. But it will be more than made up from all of God's children who comes before you. And the day will come when you will forget the little family, which is only a practice so that you may serve God's greater family. And you will realize that simultaneously all are your children, and yet you are the child and the servant of all. And it's so beautiful. It really is. So beautiful. Again, I want to tell those who have come in later that we're meeting at 8:30 on Wednesday evenings, and we would like all of you to be here on time, if at all possible. And also, all of those of you who are new this evening, I would like to get your names and addresses and telephone numbers before you leave so that we can notify you of any changes. Now, are there any questions? I sit here like the oracle. I don't know if I can answer all questions, but I can. And if you can, you'll say so. You always have to be honest. When people ask me things and I haven't realized it yet within myself, God hasn't shown me the truth, then I am always free to say so. I really don't know this yet. But when God gives it to me, I shall surely be glad to share it with you. And then I meditate upon it, and then it comes. And He's been opening up so many things it's a very interesting thing to study the scriptures. I've never really gotten into them in the way I've lived it, but I haven't read them and then compared. And I've gone on a still hunt. I go through the concordance and I look up certain words and then I search to see so that I make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth. And then I go within myself in the mountain of my own being and I ask God to verify it. And he does it in a tremendous way. And I wonder that I could have been so blind that I didn't see it before. It's really fantastic when the truth starts to open up and be revealed to you. How amazing, how wonderful it is. It's just simply beautiful. There is a great saying in the scriptures, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth is that this moment, you are one with God. You have got to become aware of it, to realize it within your own consciousness. And if you will do this, you will find that every single thing that I have held out to you tonight is an inducement, an enticement. And I would do anything I could think of to do this to you in order that you might have what I have. I wouldn't change one moment of my life. I want to live every moment of it in the fullness of Him. I would like to give you this. I ask nothing for myself. I only ask you to do something for yourself. Would you let us all sit in meditation. For those who are here the first time, you should always have a special place where you can meditate. Some place where you can build your own special vibration, your own chair, your own little altar. You can burn incense and a candle if it is helpful to you. And you should always have a woolen blanket underneath you, and that is to cut off the gravitational pull of the earth, because constantly the earth is pulling down. And so when you put this woolen blanket underneath you, it relieves you of this pull, and your consciousness is able to rise higher and more rapidly. Then you should sit with your hands at the juncture between the thighs and the hips, in a receiving position. And the spine should be absolutely straight, but not stiff. And if you sit on the floor in the bed, you should have a small pillow under you so that your spine doesn't go backward. Then put the full attention at the point between the eyebrows. That is the seat of the optic thalamus gland, the spiritual eye, which is referred to in the Bible, where Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, let thine eye be single, and thy whole body shall be filled with light. This optic thalamus gland furnishes the light by which our two eyes see the things in the world. And when we close our eyes and lift our eyes to that point of concentration, focus your full attention upon that spiritual eye, that optic thalamus gland there, and visualize this eye as being, as it is, a very, very beautiful eye. On the outside is a rim of gold. This is the gold of cosmic consciousness. On the inside is the beautiful deep blue, and that is said to be both the blue of the Christ and the blue of Krishna. And in the center of it is the five-pointed star, silver star of infinity. Now, as a practice session in concentration, you can visualize the outside gold as being a golden tunnel. And you can visualize yourself, imagine yourself going down this golden tunnel. Just become one with this beautiful golden shade, this golden glow that is all around you. And keep on going until finally you reach the blue tunnel. And then you identify yourself with this blue tunnel. Blue is the color of energy. It is also the consciousness of the Christ. And so you go down this blue tunnel until all of a sudden you come to this five-pointed silver star. Now, this is all a thing of imagination in the beginning, but it is a practice. And if you will persist in concentrating up there, one day you will see this spiritual eye. And when you see this five-pointed silver star, this is the gate to heaven within yourself. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I shall enter and sup with him, and he with me. This is the gate to the kingdom of heaven within yourself. And if you will concentrate on that, don't be satisfied with any other visions, any lesser lights. You are not interested in psychic and occult experiences. You are interested in going to the head man. You are interested in becoming one with God the Father. That is your only interest. If these other things come, thank Him for the experience, but say, Father, I want only Thee. Reveal Thyself. Reveal Thyself. Remove the veils of ignorance from before my eyes so that I may see Thy shining face. Let us practice this in deep silence and concentration. And if your mind wanders, bring it back again and again. Don't worry about it. This is natural in the beginning. Just bring it back and back until you develop a totally new habit pattern. And one day you'll just be able to go into this communion with God right now. Enter into His temple. Seal it very tight. Forget the things of time and space. Be one with His infinite light. Those of you who are not familiar with this Om that we use, it comes from the Sanskrit word Om, spelled A-U-M. And it was from this word that our Amen, Amen, was derived, and also the Amin, A-M-I-N, of the Muslims. And there's a story which I've told some of you before that the Hindus tell, and they say that God was sitting in His heavens, and all of a sudden He decided to create Himself, to manifest Himself. So He opened His mouth and He said, Ah! And that was the first letter of Om, the A. Then He looked at what He had created and He saw that it was very good. And so He decided He would preserve it. And He puckered up His mouth and He said, Ooh! And that was the second word of the second letter of the word Om. And then, having created it, preserved it, He wanted to withdraw it again to Himself. So He went, Mmm. He closed His mouth, and that was M. And that's how Amen or Amen came into being. And so when we say Om, that's the original vibratory word of the Spirit, the word of God, Om, which we have made Amen, Amen. Who is that? Is that somebody knocking at the door?
No.
Sorry about that. It was very interesting. I know that sometimes when you come into a new group, we do something like this, and it may seem a little strange, and I want you to know that it is quite simple and natural. We're not doing anything offbeat. And when we sing Om Guru, we are singing to God, who is the Supreme Master of this universe. The word Guru means dispeller of darkness. That one who comes to take you out of the darkness of ignorance into the light of your own soul, the light of God. It's been wonderful being with all of you tonight. I want to thank you all for coming and enjoying it very, very much. May God give you His richest blessings. And I hope that when you leave here, you will take a great deal with you. and that you will put it into practice, because you know you can listen to anything until the end of time. But if you don't put it into practice, it isn't ever going to do anything any good at all. It's lost motion.